Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Okay, so this is it tastes so terrible it puts you to sleep?
Actually, it tastes pretty good. And I learned about it because some athletes at, I think, University of San Jose were trying to improve their performance, and they thought they didn't sleep very well, and they tried different things to help them sleep better.
Yeah, I don't sleep well as it is. No, I don't sleep at all.
So are you wandering? No. Or you just sit? Do you read? Do you watch TV?
The show really early this morning.
I get on my phone and...
And wake other people up around the world?
No. Do you ever get in your car and drive to Jupiter, Florida?
Yeah, see, that's...
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
We're live, but we're not live where we usually are. We're not at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin and Jennifer inside the district line. We're now in New York City as we're doing a renewal of the Pablo Torre, Tony Reale show that we liked so much the last time we did it. We're on the Upper West Side on West 78th Street, I think, on upstairs from a comedy club. Mm-hmm. And fun. My panic position today was, this is a comedy club, which means it closed last night about 3 in the morning. I'm going to get there at 7:15. There's no chance I'm going to get in, and I'm going to be standing outside for an hour till everybody else arrives. But in fact, this is a digital media studio, and so we're fine other than walking up this very long flight of stairs. Nigel is with us today, Pablo, and Tony are with us today. Tony brought his friend Matt. Matt is your friend from middle school.
From middle school, one of my oldest friends.
Matt is an accountant.
This is Jersey. He's an accountant.
Are you sure he's not a mob guy who's being like made into an accountant or something like that?
Import export, I believe, is the business.
Right, he's your pal.
He's my pal, and he's a fan of you, Tony.
That's very nice. Yeah. I appreciate that. That's very good. So I was going to say we have a lot of things to talk about, but in fact, we don't.
We have nothing to talk about.
In fact, we don't have a lot of things to talk about. Later, I will tell you about my back pain because I know people are really interested in that. I'll do it later, but I've taken a lot of pills in the last 24 hours, none of which have helped. But I thought we would start in the nominal sports way that we're supposed to start with the NBA stuff that has gone on overnight, and then the thing with Bones and Phil, which I want to talk about, because that's a 25-year relationship. That's a very long time. And then a breakup of sorts. The news that I got this morning that, and I'm not going to say it's stunning. It's not stunning, but Dwight Howard is one of the most interesting cases. He's not an interesting person. He's one of the most interesting cases in the history of sports. He was almost the face of the league. He came up out of high school, went to Orlando, got to the finals very early, did everything right. Everybody loved him. He never got into any sort of mischief. Nobody was critical of him. And they said, wow, he's Wilt Chamberlain. He's the next Wilt Chamberlain. And 5 years after that, he's not.
He's a jag. He's just another guy.
Nothing. Yeah. Atlanta is his hometown. They dumped him. It's a salary dump.
12 months after
they dumped him in a year.
Enormous money.
They dumped him to the Charlotte Hornets. And people will, of course, say, well, Michael Jordan will resuscitate his career, which is nonsense. Has anybody become poison faster than Dwight? And that's a very high height that he reached.
I know what you feel about him.
And I can't stand him.
You can't stand him. No. And I'm not going to make a case. There's two things that were working against him. One was brought on by himself. His personality to some is off-putting. But the second is the bigger deal, and it's that the NBA ran away from him as quick as they possibly could. Physically ran, in that the NBA that he signed up for...
It's not the NBA!
That he grew up, he grew into be the man he was going to be on the court, changed while he was in his career. And that's the difference between him and some other guys who have a career now that maybe they wouldn't exist 20 years ago.
If you're large, if you're a really large player, you have to be able to shoot from the outside now because the game just got faster. So if you're Porzingis, you can't understand why the Knicks want to get rid of him, but you can understand why somebody else would want him. If you're Anthony Davis and you can move out and you can take threes, that's good. And then you play defense and you protect the rim. Dwight Howard can't do that. Dwight Howard is a center in the mold of Wilt Chamberlain.
He got bad advice at a very young age. somebody told him, you know what? Vaudeville is what we want to get into. Vaudeville right now. And it was a radio game. And then after that, it was all gone.
There is a third problem, though, which is he has super unsympathetic deltoids. He is jacked.
Yeah, he is.
You would notice
He's the Goliath from our imagination. And nobody likes anything more than a pinata that doesn't seem to have accomplished all of its potential.
The super deltoids come with a very average sized head. I think we can all agree, right? So it comes in a package that is not really the one you suspect.
There was some beauty to him getting traded, by the way, while he had just started. It was like 5 minutes after he had just started a Twitter Q&A.
Yes.
Never, by the way, got off the ground because he was traded 5 minutes into it.
But he asked, who's going to get traded tonight?
He asked, anybody have any good ideas for a trade? And he was traded.
He engineered his own leaving from Orlando. He talked about
loyalty. The famous
press
conference as well with Stan Van Gundy.
Loyalty. You just walked away from a team. And so that, to me, I couldn't stand him from that point on. Wilbon stayed with him for years and years and years. Because he is, by the way, when you chat with him, he's pleasant. He has a pleasant personality. He failed in Houston. The Lakers, this is amazing. With the Lakers, Kobe Bryant called him a bad teammate. Kobe Bryant's the worst teammate in the history of the NBA. I love Kobe Bryant, but please don't tell me he's a good teammate. And he couldn't stand Dwight Howard. Then he goes, you think the resuscitation of his career in Atlanta, and he has pretty good numbers, and Atlanta's dumping everybody.
But I will say there is something, given that Kobe Bryant has basically created this cult of the a-hole, where he gets to delineate who is soft, who is Charmin, as he once called Jeremy Lin, who is toilet paper and who is not. And when Dwight Howard wears that label, it does open up the floodgates to say this guy is not, he's not a manly man.
I now wish him success. I have come to the point
Wait,
where
you've,
I wish
you've gone completely the other way.
Yeah, because he...
Because there was a time on PTI where we would say, and our lead story today is Dwight Howard. And you would have this, you'd throw the pen down on the yellow paper, and then that would be it. And we would have to sell you on
it. I know
it.
That. But I mean, when you think about the great falls in history, most of them have something to do with off the field. His has nothing to do with off the field. It's strictly on the field. People don't value his talent. They don't.
Although he had back problems, Tony, which you may now suddenly be more sympathetic to than ever, which may also factor into whether you root for him or not.
I'd say your back problems are on the level of his back problems.
They are not anywhere close.
You can't dunk anymore,
we're getting rid of him. I mentioned Porzingis. You both live in New York.
Want to like Phil Jackson, Tony. I know you do fundamentally,
but
right?
But there's a butt coming, isn't there?
But yeah, I want to sit inside of a yurt with Phil Jackson and talk about like world history.
Sit inside of a what?
A yurt.
Or a teepee or any one of these sort of hippie type structures. I want to.
In the old days, it was a geodesic dome, but those are gone now.
Yes, I would love to be in a geodesic dome with Phil Jackson while wearing tie-dye.
I got to your guys' level right now because this is not my speed.
I'm state school. Yeah. You're private schools. I'm state school.
If you tell me, if we got to get a CCD class together, I think I'd be much better served.
But, and this is the but, Tony, it's not good when one of the prevailing theories as to why Kristaps Porzingis is on the market is that Phil Jackson wants to get himself fired. What is the logic here?
I had an occasion. I went on the PTI show a couple of months ago and basically said, it seems to me that Phil Jackson wants to be fired. And that what he should do next is go into the office of the owner, to Dolan's office, without his pants on. And then he'll get fired. I got a call from Phil Jackson.
Oh, really?
From Phil Jackson.
And do you have his number in your cell phone? Or was this like a
I
thing
do
you
now.
Had no idea who
No,
was.
He got my number from Wilbon. Okay, and he calls me, and he's because I covered him when he was with him.
I mean, Pablo, you need to know the relationship goes further than that. I got a cell phone from Wilbon.
I mean, this is him a lot.
They may not remember anything that happened in those meetings.
He said, it has come to my attention through my associates that you are suggesting I want to get fired. I don't want to get fired. In fact, it was a 30-second conversation.
That's exactly what somebody who would want to be fired would say.
And he said, you know, I'm out scouting people right now because I want the team to get better. And I said, you know, I love you. And he goes, I know you love me. And I love you, but I don't want to get fired. And that was enough for me. I mean, we were not going to have a lengthy conversation.
Yeah.
Porzingis is the best thing that he has done.
That's
Porzingis
it.
Porzingis is 7 foot three.
Top
Porzingis,
line of the resume.
Porzingis at
Porzingis
this point, going into his third year, might actually be a player you could build
He's
around.
He's the only player in NBA history who has the points, rebounds, steals, assists, and blocks that he has accrued at this point.
So you say to yourself, why would you want to get rid of him because he blew off an exit interview and then taunted you by bicycling in Central Park? Is that enough to want to get rid of a guy who appears to be this good.
This is how he keeps
people in line,
though. He plays this through the media all the time.
He's always done that.
This is why I think this was him, and I said this on the Around the Horn program yesterday, and Ramona Shelburne opposed that a little bit. She didn't think this was coming from Phil's camp. I totally think it is. This is how he plays it out. But back to the wants to get fired scenario, I think this is the producers. I think he's trying to make the producers here, right? I think we're
and
approaching...
And we'll have the worst show in the history of Broadway. It's genius.
Yeah, so I think he's approaching an intermission right here where he's going to be, you know, waiting
springtime
eagerly. Yeah,
he's Germany.
So I think in New York, you can make more headlines with a train wreck right now than you can with a team that's going to...
So you don't think
to...
he... wants to get rid of Porzingis.
I don't think he wants to
shot across
get
the
rid
ballot
of Porzingis. I think the deal he wants is he would trade Porzingis for a new owner and a new president of the team.
Okay.
Which is the position he currently occupies.
I know. Okay, so we're going to dismiss that. D'Angelo Russell, who was the number two overall pick 2 years ago, and who Wilbon has never liked. Wilbon hates D'Angelo Russell. He was traded to the Nets, which mm-hmm.
you're
going to hell that's, when they trade you to the Nets.
He's my new neighbor in Brooklyn.
You know, and he was traded for Brooke Lopez. And this is a money deal?
This is what happens in the NBA, mean? Tony. So the 76ers, one of the things they did was not just lose games in their process, capital P process. What they did also was treat the NBA like a bunch of clients for a garbage disposal service. Mm-hmm. And by that I mean, you have some trash you want to get rid of. In this case, with the Nets and the Lakers, and the Nets here are the tanking team mm-hmm. that is smarter than the average bear, what they said is, you want to say, I don't know, get rid of Timofey Mozgov, who you paid $60-plus million over 4 years, as soon as free agency opened about a year or so ago. How do you want to get rid of him? Well, we'll do that. We'll eat your trash if you trade us D'Angelo Russell. Mm-hmm. He is the payment for the garbage disposal service.
This is wonderful that it's happening in Brooklyn, because now Brooklyn has taken the mantle from Staten Island as the waste
the borough of your birth.
Yes, borough of my birth and the borough of where the trash goes.
Yes.
And that's one.
So
the
that's what this is about. Yes. But now I just heard you say, not 30 seconds ago, that you think the Nets are smarter than the average Bears? Because
that's ludicrous.
Could you explain
that's
that to
absolute,
me?
Dude,
no,
that's
because
they're,
if you look
statement.
At their front office, what they got, Sean Marks, their GM, is from the Greg Popovich Spurs coaching tree.
Okay.
They're tanking and they're losing and they're doing so intentionally, but what they're doing in the process, no pun intended, is extracting assets from other teams because they're not paying anybody. You need someone to free up cap space for you? This is the team. It's just going to cost you. It's going to cost you a number two pick 2 years ago, which is...
But is he any good? Like, apparently Magic Johnson doesn't like him at all. Is he any good? Is he worth it? Or was he overvalued when he was the number two pick?
I think there is a ceiling on him that has not yet been scratched, not even close.
Okay.
But I do think the best thing he's done in his NBA career is that commercial for Foot Locker where he throws his Carl Anthony Towns' phone out the window.
It's brilliant.
That's still the best thing he's ever done.
Okay, so towards that end, you see somebody who might get as high as number two or number one or number three or something like that, Josh Jackson from Kansas, who through his agent has refused to work out for the Boston Celtics unless they assure him that they're going to draft him. What is that? What exactly is that?
I know. You had David yesterday on the show, and he told you don't believe anything at this moment.
Right.
I don't know if I can believe anything I'm really hearing at this moment.
Okay.
I mean, I think you can visibly see the workouts and see that guys are performing, or maybe they look overweight. That's something that I think is tangible. Everything else that you're hearing from people, I'm not going to work out for them. Maybe the Celtics have already decided he's the guy they want. That's what I think.
But remember, Tony, there was the story of a young man named Steph Curry, and his father and his agent and him himself, he wanted to be a New York Knick. He refused to work out for the Golden State Warriors.
Can you imagine what life would be, right? How they
that,
would have
that
run
sliding
into the
doors,
ground.
Alternate timeline.
Oh, he wouldn't even have
he
ankles
would have
anymore.
Yeah. He would have been ruined.
He
would have been glorious ankles. For about a season.
You know the David Kahn story that is out there now? When he was the general manager of Minnesota, he says that Del Curry and Steph Curry said, don't draft him. He will not come to Minnesota.
Right.
I mean, Steph Curry was not a 1, 2, or 3.
No.
Steph Curry was drafted
time,
7
no.
or 8.
Seven.
What do you mean you won't go to Minnesota? I mean, do you believe that? David Kahn has no... He's been discredited to such a degree, maybe he does have reason to lie. I don't know.
All I know is that he said fundamentally something extremely similar to the Golden State Warriors, and they took him anyway. And there is a lineage in the NBA and other sports too of it doesn't matter what the labor wants. If management wants you, they're going to take you. That's the draft as a concept.
This is wherever Lonzo Ball ends up, that is the proof of exactly what you're saying. Because nobody wants his dad. Nobody wants the grief that is going to come with Lonzo Ball. But they want Lonzo Ball.
If they want the guy, they're going to take him.
They're going to take him, and they're going to work through the other things.
LeBron plays with Lonzo Ball, by the way, in 2018, right, they will all forget what LeVar said about LeBron and his fatherhood.
So thank you for mentioning that, because the story in the NBA since the day that LeBron arrived has been LeBron James. Everything LeBron James does on the court, everything he does off the court. The most important story in the NBA right now is what's going to happen with LeBron next year. Not even this coming year, but the year after. To that end, there was on the crawl this morning, I saw that it's possible the Clippers are trying to trade DeAndre Jordan. The first thing you think of with that is that Jerry West, who I think we would all agree is the smartest guy, Jerry West. He's the guy who said, no, I don't want to coach. Put Pat Riley in. That was pretty smart at that time, and that's 35 years ago. He may be trying to dump DeAndre Jordan because, as the story goes, for whatever reason, he wants to assemble a bunch of people around LeBron James. Why would you? DeAndre Jordan seems perfectly useful. Why would you want to get rid of DeAndre Jordan?
I think it's another guy where the NBA has gone in a completely different direction, and it really doesn't matter if you have a guy who happens to be, and he happens to be one of the three best players at his position, but it's a position that does no longer matters.
But unlike Dwight Howard, he does not claim to be an offensive player. He does not ask for a team to be built around him. He does exactly what he does. He plays defense. He can't shoot fouls, but he plays defense, and he doesn't seem to be agitating for anything other than his team would win.
No, you know exactly where we were 24 months ago. We were on DeAndre Jordan watch, where we were trying to see, Blake Griffin is blocking the door, so DeAndre Jordan can't leave the building. I mean, this is where we were 24 months ago, and now we're at a place where they're trying to get rid. It would make sense for them to do anything and everything to make themselves an attractive option for LeBron.
Oh, and keep.
But if you're LeBron James, you want a guy who doesn't need the ball and will block somebody else's shots.
Oh, rim protection, if you have LeBron James, is a priority. But Tony, how to get LeBron James and why, in fact, the Clippers even got Jerry West in the first place. Jerry West is nicknamed, I believe, the Godfather. Like, LeBron considers him his godfather. They had a relationship when he was down 3-1 to the Warriors, the finals before last, and Jerry West stood up for him, and he was reading his autobiography and all that. And also, the Clippers realize, look, we're going for LeBron because we're not going to be in this as long as the Warriors exist. This is that long-term sort of deal.
LeBron is the wild card in the NBA. If you have LeBron, you're the only team with a chance to beat Golden State.
And keep in mind, people are talking about, they're debating, man, does LeBron have a different immunity, a different diplomatic immunity in Ohio because he won a title and he came back home and all of that. And I think that's true. But I also think it doesn't quite matter because the guy had zero immunity the first time and left anyway. Remember what Dan Gilbert's letter said. There's a line in this, Tony. Some people think, this is written by Dan Gilbert in Comic Sans font, left on the Cavs website for 4 years. Some people think you don't need to die to get to heaven. That was one of the sentences Dan Gilbert wrote, which is, by the way, analogizing playing for the Cavs to death, but no one really paid attention to that. but the idea is, like, Dan Gilbert and LeBron James, the David Griffin firing.
Oh, they hate each other.
It's not a good relationship.
No, they hate. LeBron hates him, and LeBron doesn't want to win for him as much as for himself.
Absolutely.
And people that he likes, and wants Dan Gilbert to lose all his money in the process.
L.A. seems very reasonable to me.
Well, everybody's got a house in L.A. It's like in the old days when everybody was doing a screenplay. Everybody's got a house in L.A. We've gone very long in the opening segment. Nigel just pointed out to me how long we went.
I apologize.
That was entertaining.
No,
it was
great.
We forgive everything for smart and funny.
Look at that, you're tuck.
We'll be back. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the MeUndies ad. There's a reason I've been telling you about MeUndies for months now. Well, there's two reasons. One is because they pay me, which I appreciate very much. And two is because they are simply the softest, most comfortable underwear you will ever wear. Once you try them, you won't want to wear anything else unless you're naked or in a swimsuit. For every other second of your life, there's MeUndies. Most of the time, we talk about the people who have them, who sit on the show with us. But we have not brought for Pablo or Reali. We have not brought MeUndies.
I don't wear underwear.
Okay, well, that's good. So, Pablo, you can get his.
Absolutely.
So that's good. Every pair of MeUndies is sustainably sourced. Boy, that was terrible. Every pair of MeUndies.
Is there any other kind?
Is sustainably sourced and made from micromodal, a fabric that's 3 times softer than cotton. If you're used to buying packs of uncomfortable, boring underwear that only come in white, gray, black, or tan, MeUndies will change everything because MeUndies comes in all kinds of colors and patterns, and they release a new limited edition pattern each month that always sells out. This month is a rainbow confetti print called Celebrate. Michael has those at home and is afraid to wear them at
the
moment. But perhaps by the time I get back, he will do that. So try MeUndies today. Go get the Celebrate pattern before they're all gone at MeUndies.com/TonyK, and you will save 20% off your first pair. You have to feel for yourself to see why MeUndies has sold over 5 million pairs to date. They say pairs. I think it's proper English is 5 million pair, but that's just me, English major. But state school, as I said, state school, not a private school. And if you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, they're free. Get 20% off your first pair plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/TonyK right now. That is MeUndies.com/TonyK. And one more time, MeUndies.com/TonyK.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Boy, the beginning of this, for a little while, sounded like something Gary U.S. Bonds did in the 1950s. This is Colin McGuire, who says, "My name is Colin McGuire. I've been a loyal little since way back in the Washington Post radio days when Brennan Hazelton was doing the news and Joe Barber was reviewing movies.
Oh, wow.
In short, you are the single greatest influence in my career as a newspaper person and why I moved to the D.C. metro area to begin with. But enough about me. Please find attached for use my band Double Motorcycles, debut single Pyramid. From our debut self-titled EP, we play in the D.C. area a bunch, including recently when our quest for world domination faced its corner curio cabinet moment as we played to a rousing crowd of 4 at something called the Baxter Building. I figured I'd email in after hearing a song from Craig Miller of Grand Old Ditch fame appear on your podcast. As it goes, I review albums for the Frederick News Post, the newspaper of record in Frederick, Maryland, where Perfect Truffles reside. And I've reviewed not one, but 2 Grand Old Ditch records during my time living in Maryland. That said, I'd be happy to be the official music reviewer of the Tony Kornheiser Show should the opportunity present itself. We could rate the songs at the end of each episode on a scale of Saliza seats, 4 stars to quality Saliza show appearances, 0 stars. In any event, thank you for your time. If you're ever compelled to see the band live, rest assured we'll forever have a plethora of room on any and all guest lists available for you and the gang." That's very, very nice. Colin McGuire. That's very, very nice. So this is the second time that we've done the show in New York City and the first time in an expansive studio. The last time we were basically in a tiny little voice record circumstance. It was tiny. But one of the things I've forgotten about in New York City is that a lot of people live here. Really, a lot of
people.
Yeah,
it's an easy thing to forget.
So I'm looking out the window and I see about 5 or 6 people come walking through the studio area.
I'll have them eliminated.
Right, and then I find out that they're all IMG people, that Sally is here with a bunch of IMG people and IMG agents are agents for this particular show. And so that's good. So at 7 in the morning, and I hate to be so crass as to say this, but at 7 in the morning, the most beautiful women are jogging in New York City. Yeah. This is not so where I live.
You like that most, responsible early riser
the
type.
The most beautiful women are jogging in New York
City. Tony, I think you undersold the building you're in right now, too. I
mean,
this
comedy
is stand-up New York. This is a big deal.
See, I don't know that.
This is a big deal. And you're doing a bit right now. You're doing hours at Stand Up New York.
Well,
I mean, you can say,
put that on my resume.
I played that. And just so we have a visual on a very non-visual medium here, all over the place of this studio, there is a lot of graffiti art and the state animal of this
appears
to be a rat.
Appears to be a rat.
So now you're finally getting your Martin Scorsese moment here. End of The Departed.
Wait.
You are surrounded.
You didn't understand the symbolism. Yeah. Let me do it with such a heavy hand that you'll never forget
unfair.
It.
This is unfair. This almost cost us our friendship. Honestly.
It is absurd.
You love The Departed.
I love everything Scorsese does, and I won't have you.
All the rat didn't do. All the rat did not do was wink.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Okay. So the story that I didn't get to at the beginning, we'll get to news after this. It's sort of news. It is that Phil Mickelson and Jim McKay, who's known to everyone as Bones, his caddy for 25 years, have broken up. They've broken up in the most amiable way. They have released statements saying how much they love each other, and they have pledged their troth to one another for the rest of time. And I mean, I get that. So you ask yourself, well, then why would they be breaking up? And the only logical reason is that Phil is probably going to cut back on how many tournaments he plays, eliminating Bones' ability to maximize income. And so you'll see Bones go with another top player, and Phil at 46 or 47 will play majors but won't play. This is all I'm thinking. Can you think of another reason this would happen? Because the wording of it is such that you don't think there's anything wrong.
So I probably know the least about golf of the three of us, so I'll have to
but
clarify.
But you know about human relations.
I do. No, I do. But my question is, how is he paid? Is it just a percentage of every purse? Or?
Golf used to be
this way. This is great.
Golf used to be 10% of winning.
10%? Of 10%. Phil Mickelson, who's had winnings.
That's IMG money.
10% of winnings. Tiger changed that because Tiger won too much money to pay 10%. So Tiger dumped Fluff Cowan and hired Stevie Williams. And my understanding is put Stevie Williams on a contract that this is how much you're going to earn. And it's a lot of money, but it was not 10% of Tiger. 10% of Phil over the last 10 years is really a lot
of
money.
I'd hazard to say that they're after the top 50 to 75 golfers in the world, Bones might be on that list and earning. Wow.
So I guess that's it. But can you figure out why they would part? It doesn't. I don't have another reason.
I'm sure he's cutting back on schedule. I mean, I'm sure what we saw this week. I mean, he didn't play the U.S. Open because his life now is in a different place than what it was for the first 20 years of his career.
Phil Mickelson makes so much money.
He really does.
Without even having to win tournaments.
This stunned me that he's in the top 10 of earning of professional athletes.
Yeah.
Is that because he has all of the sponsors that normally would be associated with a golf tournament, which is to say that all of the high-end kind of...
I don't get that, though.
He has a lot of sponsorship. He has club deals. He now, you can see that he has his own shirt logo, so he's obviously got his own shirt deal. He's just much in demand. Golf is played around the world, not as much as soccer or basketball, but it's played around the world. Tiger, for a while, I would think Tiger made more money than any athlete. Arnold Palmer, when he died, was still in the top 20 because of all of the business.
It's an incredible amount
of
money.
When I was at Sports Illustrated, we used to have, and this is in the unfortunate declining phase of Sports Illustrated, we used to have these inserts like Golf Plus.
Yeah.
I would always ask, because I'm not a super educated golf expert. I would always ask, how do we have fewer and fewer pages, but more and more Golf Plus?
Yeah.
And the answer was, that is where money is.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
There is still money in the business of golf for those high-end.
That was an incredible prologue, by the way, that you know the least of the three people. Tony knows this about me. The last time I think I was on a golf course.
He doesn't know anything about golf.
they said, sir, you can't wear leather.
that was not the policy at my wedding, thankfully,
by the way. Blue mesh and only Maryland. Blue mesh. I mean, it wasn't congressional. Yeah.
We're not going to do a lot of golf. We're not going to talk about tall fescue or anything like that. All right, you have news.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. We'll start off with your Washington Nationals, who had a nice win last night against the Miami Marlins. I want to call them the Florida Marlins, but the Miami Marlins. 12-3. Gio Gonzalez got a little bit of trouble early, but pitched his way out of it. He's now 7-1.
Gio Gonzalez looks suspiciously like Anthony Reale.
He's a good-looking guy. He's a really good
If you cross Gio Gonzalez and Andy Pettit...
I have left-handed pitchers.
You would have
Tony
Reale. You would have. He would be the child of Pettit and Gonzalez. He would be.
Are you happy with Gonzalez this year?
Yes.
7-1 now? Seems
yes.
To be...
Well, he can't get through 9, but
right.
Yes. He's throwing fewer pitches and they're having better impact, yes.
And Bryce Harper struck again. Daniel Murphy had a home run. So Harper's hitting streak now to 13 games. So
one of the things that we're going to do, like when our summer schedule comes out, I used to take off all of July and August. And this year, because I have an interest in chatter and because I have an interest in this particular podcast, because I don't get paid unless I work, we're going to do some shows. And one of the shows that we hope to do on July 3rd in studio for the duration of the show would be Ron Darling. Now, you guys grew up.
I grew up with Ron Darling.
And you hear Darling all the time.
Yeah, he's great.
Yes.
He's great. Really.
I like him.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited about this because he's really smart.
Yale's own Ron Darling.
Yeah. Then so I hope
handsome man.
Yeah. I hope that works. Also with a young child. Like one. Like, how old is Francesca?
Francesca's 2.5 at this
I think,
point.
I think Ron's son is younger than
great.
Francesca.
So then Francesca.
Francesca, okay.
She can post him up then. She can get him in the. She how can is she back him into the paint. Down, she's right. doing wonderful. We had a dance recital this weekend, which was an incredible thing to watch.
Wait. How old is she?
She's 2.5.
She's already dancing?
Oh, sure.
Is that that's
what sort of dance is that? Is that like shake
that's
your
ballet.
Oh,
that ballet. Is first position, Nigel. I believe you're familiar with the arabesque.
Is that right?
It was an incredible thing to watch, and you know, as somebody who gets emotional on commercials for people who have constipation, Movantik,
yeah,
which is an incredibly named thing for opiate induced,
yeah, it's the opiate constipation.
That makes me emotional. I enjoyed the dance recital, but it didn't make me into a puddle, which I was surprised and happy to have progress.
Did you compare her to the other 2-year-olds?
Oh, she
dominated
those. I didn't even know what those girls were walking up the stage.
Yeah, you just go, honestly, American Ballet Theater and the rest of you, you're done. Get out.
It was 6 months for 47 seconds. And if you're
cost
on stage,
$100,000.
If you make it all on stage, you're not far off, Pablo. If you make it on stage for all 47 without wandering off or picking your nose, I mean, you really are a prima ballerina at that point.
That's great.
Speaking of constipation, which is a phrase I've always wanted to use on this show, there is something going on, and Tony, we talked about this before the show, with cyclists now. There's a new type of doping that might occur. It's not blood doping. It's called poop doping. All right. Now, so what this scientist has done is she's a microbiologist and she's compared the enzymes in top athletes' stomachs to normal people to find out, well, if there's something different. As it turns out, there is this one thing in the very best athletes and the top bikers, cyclists rather. It's called Privatella, and it helps enhancing muscle recovery. And you have to get
it. It naturally occurs. They're
not for some people. Yes. But if some people don't have it. And if you can get what is called a fecal transplant.
A reverse enema, I believe.
Hold on. I'm taking a photo of Nigel explaining this to Tony. Tony, this was in the Washington Post. Yes. Democracy dies in the darkness.
Yeah.
Democracy also poops in darkness. I mean, it's what we found out.
Well, okay. Many years ago, there was a Finnish long-distance runner named Lasse Virran. And Lasse Virran was the first person to actually take his blood, recycle all of his blood, get somebody else's blood and put it through his own system. And this was a form of doping that I believe disqualified him, not from the gold medals that he had won, but from further competition. I could be very wrong on this. But for many, many years, there was a governmental policy when there was in East Germany, there was a governmental policy to pump steroids into all of their athletes, which is why they were so fantastic in the Olympics. People have sought by whatever means possible to create
let me ask you,
stardom.
Do you believe taking on someone else's refuse is a form of cheating? Their body is expelling it. They don't need it anymore. It's just there for the taking.
Only in the sense that it did not naturally occur in your own body, and this is an artificial means of getting better, but it seems to me actually reasonable. If you can discover something naturally produced in someone's body that gives them this advantage in a particular discipline, that it seems to me that you would want to get that in your own body. Mm-hmm.
This is it feeds into a theory that I've long propagated to Mr. Reale, which is Tony has a very delicate digestive system.
I'm a petite fleur.
No, yeah, you get like sick maybe, everywhere. Maybe of course, not everybody buys sushi at an airport.
Well,
like
I mean, there's actually, this is why this was a story of import to me, and Nigel and I were talking about it. This is born out of Lyme's disease, which is the disease I had when I was a younger man, and in order to combat it,
clothes.
I had a Bell's palsy, which paralyzed my face, and I had some other symptoms. And in order to combat it, I went on heavy-duty antibiotic for an extended period of time. And what that accomplished, along with not permanently, but temporarily curing me of this spirochete, because it stays in your body for a long time, is it destroyed all the microbes of my intestines, all the bacteria of my intestines, and you need those. This is what we hear about probiotics and prebiotics.
Yeah.
So that background now, Pablo, please go ahead about my body.
And my theory has always been, because Tony Reale is maybe the healthiest person I know in terms of regimen,
0% body fat.
Yeah, zero.
Ate
so much kale that he got sick.
Kidney stones. Yeah.
So kidney stones. So, but my theory has always been, I've treated my stomach like a trash compactor. I eat halal cart street meat. I eat deli meat that's been left out way too long. I ate crab rangoon in college, which was left out. Crab rangoon is just cream cheese wrapped in a fried wonton. So
Boston is known for their crab rangoon.
It is. It's the only place you can really get good crab rangoon. But point is, I'm incredibly indiscriminate in terms of what I eat. Yeah. And I find that I, on a day-to-day basis, have fewer medical ailments than Tony Reale. True. And my theory has always been that I have this cauldron of bacteria that has symbiotically attached to me and protects me.
But we talk about this all the time, about going to get, you know, bad burgers.
Right.
Bad burgers that'll protect you against, it'll ward off various diseases. And if you don't have bad stuff in your body, if you should get bad stuff in your body, nothing is there to
kill it. So how come I get made fun of for sushi from the Pittsburgh airport?
Because you got ill.
Maybe that was my little indestructible intestinal mission here.
To circle back to this notion that through someone else's excrement, you could become a world-class athlete, do you think that is okay?
I think that there's a business for me in me selling my poop. That's what I'm sort of gathering.
I want to talk to you about that after the show, actually. Yeah.
I can do that.
It's an interesting story.
It's a friends and family joke.
I think we just both combined this show stinks and the Uranus joke somehow into this program. Yeah.
Mr. Tony, O.J. Simpson is going to have a parole hearing on July 20th. He had a 15-year sentence in 2008 for that sort of bizarre,
trying to recover his own property.
Yeah.
But with guns.
With guns.
But with guns.
Probably not a good idea in retrospect.
But with guns. Right.
So now he had a parole hearing a couple years ago. They knocked a couple years off his charge. He's got 4 years remaining.
There are some people for whom a parole hearing is just an exercise. It's never, don't worry. Sirhan Sirhan is never going to be let out of prison. That will never. Richard Speck is now not with us, but was never going to be let out of prison. O.J. Simpson, on this charge. Now, I understand there's more with O.J. I get that.
Oh,
part.
Is there? Okay.
I get that. But on this charge has served an awfully long time, right? On this particular charge has served an awfully long time. I suspect he will get out. Maybe not this time, but I don't think he goes to term with it. What do you think? Do you never let him out because you're convinced, regardless of what a jury says?
I think he'll get out. I think he employs the Shawshank Redemption maneuver, and I think my experience with that is if you tell the parole board you don't care about anything, they always let you go. So, I mean, I think that's my stance. I've thought about this for a full second.
Yeah, you did. Gave a lot of fun.
I just can't wait for Ezra Edelman, our friend.
Mm-hmm. Academy Award winner.
Academy Award winner, director of the Academy Award winning O.J. Made in America, O.J. : Made in America. I can't wait for that meeting.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't know
Do you think Ezra wants that?
I think he has to. Avoided it.
And I think he can get that movie under 16 hours. I think there's a shot. So.
I believe he's in Lovelock, Nevada. I think that's where the prison is.
Yeah.
You say, well, why would you know that? I drove cross country in 1987 and our car broke down in Lovelock, Nevada. There's nothing to that town except for a very big prison.
Why do Brits love driving cross country?
Because our country is so small,
you can
actually walk across in about 15 minutes.
Yes.
Yours is vast, so we're fascinated with that.
What else you got?
Marian Hossa of the Chicago Blackhawks has what is being described as a very severe allergic reaction caused by his hockey equipment, and it might cause him to retire. Apparently, he's been taking medication for this, but his physician...
What specific thing is he allergic to?
It doesn't specify that here in the report that I'm
now,
reading.
Now, he's a great player.
He is, and he has what was one of these enormous NHL deals that he signed, and there's still a lot of money wrapped up in that. This is a kind of a stunning thing, and you had said before we made air here that you'd heard of this before. This was the first time I've ever heard of it.
Here's what I've
like
got
this.
On that in my life. When I moved to Washington, I started going to a dentist whose name is Lee Shapiro. He was a very, very good dentist. One of the things you like, if you like your dentist, it's important, you know, you keep your dentist. There are certain things in life. You don't have to keep your gas station, you don't, but you keep your dentist.
Yes.
About 7 or 8 years into my being a patient of Dr. Shapiro's, he developed an allergy to the latex gloves that all dentists began to wear pretty much around the time of AIDS. That any contact with blood for protective reasons, people went into wearing, and they didn't do this necessarily in the 1960s, but in the 1980s, they began wearing latex gloves. He was allergic to something in the glove. He tried every which way to find a glove that would work for him. Nothing did. and he had to give up his career as a practicing dentist. He taught dentistry and he stayed in the dental business. And this led to both Nigel and I going to Aldino Maggiulli, who took over the practice for Lee Shapiro. But he lost his, it sounds like the same thing, right? He was allergic to the equipment. He was allergic to the equipment.
I've never heard of a man saying, I'm allergic to latex, and it actually being real.
Are you? Is there? Should I not
I'm
have
now
named
scanning the room. I'm scanning the room to see how that landed. I'm looking at the rat graffiti on the wall. I'm taking a long pause, taking stock. Okay, and we're back.
I was just stunned to hear that before that. There were just fingers in your mouth.
Oh, yes.
And that was
yes.
allowable. That's yes. like that's encouraged. Like telling me people yes. smoked on planes. You smoked
yes.
it. Oh, the smoking section's just 31 to 34. So
or in the upstairs at a 747 yeah, in the bar
yeah.
by the piano.
So
yes.
Fingers were just all
life
up
was
in your...
different. Yes. You're so much I will know. I'm so much older than you.
Yes.
The span of my life has seen so many leaps. It's just incredible. I was thinking about this the other day, that at what point in time would you live where you'd say, my God, my 60, 70-year span had seen the most progress? If you were born around the time of the first train, if you were born around the first train and you got to where the end of your life, there were airplanes and televisions and things like that, you would go, well, I can't believe what has happened in the span of my life. But yes, all of these things, you never had to get up and change the television channel with your hands, right?
Maybe
right? I've had to do that.
Yeah, maybe my younger
You've
younger
never
years.
Had to...
I've never done that.
You've never had to stand or sit in one spot to be on a phone. You've never had that.
Pablo's had one cassette tape in his life. We talked about this yesterday.
I have thousands.
Beach Boys. Yes.
Oh, that was the right one.
Oh,
that right. was the right
Do
one.
Do you know how many times I've purchased the same music because there was records?
And then
there
was cassettes.
Right. And then it was CDs. Yeah. And then it was digital. No, so it was like, thank you for that.
No, yes. They put their hands in your mouth.
Yeah.
They put their hands everywhere.
Yep. That's right.
That's the way it worked. Old-fashioned dentistry. We'll take a break, okay? And we will come back with Old Guy.
That's right.
And we'll just chat some more, because
we'll talk.
We'll chat some more. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Indochino ad. Normally, I look at Nigel, because Nigel has done this. Nigel has bought Indochino yes. suits. Nigel has measured himself to buy Indochino suits. If anybody had a camera now, they would see the reality. As soon as I start talking, Reali and Pablo go to their phones.
Okay, immediately.
They're not paying attention to me, but I'm going to come to them like a teacher who does that. I'm going to say, have you ever had a made-to-measure suit? Do you know what Indochino suits are? You recently had a wedding. You had to have a suit. You don't wear a suit
a lot.
I
have a couple made-to-measure suits, but I would love a nice Indochino made-to-measure. I know their brand. And I'm told that they are quite respectable.
No,
I'm in for
nice.
Free suits.
Very yeah. nice.
Now,
in general.
In Reali's case, he is your fashion forward on a lot of levels.
Wear underwear. Do we establish?
But
that
you'll
earlier?
Do things. You'll have. Do things that other people won't do. And do you have any of these?
Well, I mean, look at the tightness of these pants right now.
Yeah,
can you pull that off?
The legs, the calf circumference no. is as minimal as possible.
No, but I know you'll do that. You'll wear you'll.
I have very made to.
Like when
suits.
I was buying things at Saks, the one label I always stayed away from was Ike Behar because it was just way too young and thin for me, and that's
Ike
the stuff.
Ike Behar is way too old and not thin
in,
enough.
In
for me.
Those days,
no brand can sound older. By you know? The way,
anyway,
than that name.
Ike Behar.
This is the Indochino ad. Everybody looks better in a suit. Every man looks best in a tuxedo, but everybody looks better in a suit than they look in something else. Indochinos make it easy. Is making it easy to get a perfectly tailored suit at an incredible price. You can choose from hundreds of top quality fabrics and personalize your suit just the way you want it, which is why I look for Reali, because he would personalize it, whether it's for work, a wedding, or another special
mm-hmm,
occasion.
Definitely.
Indochino has suited up hundreds of thousands of men. They are now the largest made-to-measure menswear brand in the world, and here's how it works. You visit a showroom or you shop online at Indochino.com, Indochino.com. You pick your fabric, then... And this is right in Reali's lane. You mm-hmm. choose your customizations from labels to pleats to jacket linings and more. You submit your measurements. You place your order. You wait for it to arrive in just a few weeks. This week, Listeners to this high-quality podcast can get any premium Indochino suit for just $379 at Indochino.com when entering Tony K at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit, plus the shipping is free. And that is Indochino.com. The promo code is Tony K for any premium suit for just $379 and free shipping. It's an incredible deal for a suit that will fit you better than anything off the rack ever could.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day are the Kinks. I don't want to say they're underrated, but they have never gotten their just due as a brilliant, brilliant band. Smart songs, funny songs. This is dedicated follower of fashion in honor of the fact that Ray Davies, the lead guy in the Kinks, is 73 today. And you have done research on this.
Yes, I have. Apparently, Ray Davies was having an argument with some fashion people back. This is back like 66, 67. And it's, you know, Carnaby Street, you know, it's sort of like all the outrageous stuff. And they were like, no, the clothes are what make the man. And he was like, no, it's if you walk down the street and you're confident, you can wear whatever you want. And he, as he claimed, he got into a fist fight, not only with the fashion guy, but also his girlfriend. And then after that, wrote this song
in 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes. And then in the recording of it, that very distinctive guitar strum, he couldn't get the sound he wanted, so they recorded over and over again. And they came back the next day, and he had burned the tapes because he didn't like any of it. And they said, Ray, could you just calm down and we just do this once? And so then they came up with
Genius
this.
Genius takes odd forms, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it does.
Last time we did the show, I had known about the fact, Pablo, that you and Bomani Jones were going to do, is it a half-hour daily show?
It is an hour.
An hour.
It is daily. Mm-mm. And here is mm-hmm. the kicker, Tony. It is not plausibly live. It is literally live.
Really?
It is.
Ain't nothing like it.
Why?
Live TV.
That's absolutely.
So I wanted to ask you a question.
You know what Kelleher
yes, veteran
believes?
Veteran of live television. Well, you have to ask Tony.
Do you know what Kelleher believes the name of the show should be?
What should it
Pablo
be?
Pablo and Bomani talk down to you.
Yeah. A high atop mountain for Luton.
They can put us on
Pablo
one of those,
and
one of those Colin Cowherd-esque elevated radio sets.
Is that the most bizarre thing
bizarre
where it looks
thing.
Like he's playing piano in that a lounge?
That was my
so
number
bizarre.
One conclusion from that weird LeVar Ball versus Colin Cowherd versus Christine Leahy thing was, why is this set design like
it's
that?
It's like a cigarette. I mean, you're literally above people.
It's like,
I know. Riley did this too, I thought, to a certain extent, when he was interviewing people. His chair was noticeably
right?
higher than
Rick,
everybody else's.
Because Rick's pretty big. Rick's about 6'4".
No. Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, Bill O'Reilly. I thought you meant Rick Riley. Riley.
Bill O'Reilly. I just seem
he's
like
a
he's
big
guy
too.
He's a big
he
guy
is.
Too.
He is.
But it just seemed like his chair was slightly
maybe.
Above.
But in the case of Colin Cowherd, it's an oceanic leap to get to how tall he is.
It's high and it is far.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So tell us about...
Well, let me ask you this. But live, because I think you were famously the first guest on Keith Olbermann's ESPN show. Is that correct?
Might have been, yeah. I don't know. I don't remember. I love Keith Olbermann. I don't know if I was first.
It was a big deal.
I don't know if I was first, but I love Keith Olbermann.
Yeah, yeah.
Love him.
But I believe it was live, and I think I remember this being some source of... you get to process the live nature of it because you live in a taped world.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about live just because of so many things that can go wrong. Because your brain works... Sometimes you're too fast, and if you let go with what you want to say, it's a mistake. So you have to draw that back in, and live, sometimes you don't.
So I think for us, the challenge is, look, we have this real estate. It is live. We want to make the viewer aware that it's live, I think. And this is all me speaking out of my... this is me just speaking out of my
this
behind.
Is a fecal transplant.
Yes,
of
exactly.
Right. Yes.
Right.
So I'm speaking only for myself because we are still discussing all of this, of course, with Bomani and company. But for me, we got to make sure that people are aware that it's live. Use that somehow to leverage it to show that we are being unpredictable but not going to get ourselves in trouble.
We have to be on some sort of delay.
I think so,
seven seconds.
Or so.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, you can still get in trouble. I have. I've gotten in trouble on tape. You know, so yeah, you can get in trouble.
But
you get vacation, as they say.
Yes,
vacation.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, and so the audience is different. It's a different mandate than the shows than the Around the Horn program and the PTI program. It is a time when people are still conceivably processing the day's events. Things are going to be breaking in the news cycle. And I think people are going to be eating lunch or eating breakfast, depending on what coast you're on. And so us, we have the mandate of replicating in that set of conditions the relationship, the chemistry that is the hallmark of the great shows on our network.
Yeah.
And that's something that we'll be doing, not just because we have a friendship that is real and
but it would be so great if you punched him in the head once or he did that to you. So, you just walked out and said, "Really? I'm done. I'm done." And then the other guy's just sitting there. What now?
I've already said, speaking of the 7-second delay, there is something to the lever that says a curse word on it. You know, just pull that lever on day one and suddenly, oh, they're dangerous.
Yeah. That'll help you.
That's a blog post.
No, that's strategy. I mean, there should be a strategy to it, obviously. I didn't know it was an hour. An hour is a long time. It's a long time. And I mean, you could fill an hour easily, but an hour is a long time.
So we're going to be conversational in ways
that there going to be guests? Do you have any sense of what the program's going
to
be?
We want guests. We want this to be a show that is not just highfalutin and highbrow, but also lowbrow. It spans the spectrum, both fun. I mean, we want to be... I personally want this to be a show that people watch and they laugh.
It's got to be you
well,
guys, right?
This is the slogan of my life. We forgive anything for smart and funny.
Right.
Smart and funny is...
Because I've tried just the smart, and you get really stigmatized by certain media critics in the New York Daily News.
I have...
Don't read them.
Don't read them.
I have a kind of, you know... I'm invested in this show, of course.
Yes, and Tony has been a guru that I consult. Tony Reale here.
But as one person who has appeared on TV with both of these guys, I've experienced them on that level. What's going to make this interesting for me is these are two people who have, in my opinion, never really lost the debate. They just allowed time to move on.
Right.
So that's where I think I'm on record saying this is going to be the smartest show on TV, but I'm not a great judge of that because I said that about PTI for 14 years straight. And now I've just switched horses midstream because I'm going with the younger horse.
We got old.
I'm going with the younger horse at this point.
I understand that.
But I think we got to get a name.
But to answer the question of like where are we in the construction of this, there is a giant metaphorical whiteboard at which we are throwing all manner of names. So
I like
if you're
bow
out there,
by blow.
Submit
bow by blow. I like stuck on sports, and I like Seinfeld.
Seinfeld.
Just to see if you Seinfeld. Maybe get some character.
Can I ask why fully live? Why fully live? Why not tape it?
Because,
as you go.
Because I believe there is a logic with the time slot that says because news will be happening, this is the old SportsCenter time slot, there is some logic to being able to react spontaneously to things that are developing. But, you know, I'm of the opinion where I'm not as numb to the business and as immune to nerves as, say, you guys are, but... The live thing, you know, that makes me feel like, you know, there's
some stakes
here.
It makes you feel,
here,
and that's
right?
A good,
like,
thing, there's stakes.
Because
this is born out of who these guys are, though. When they're off air, around the horn, highly questionable, whatever, they live in social media, they live on the internet, and Pablo and Bomani especially, I mean, I think if you looked at his tweets, he sent out 300,000 tweets in 10 years.
That's 300,000 more than I have.
Yes, responding to things in real time is what they do. And that, I think if we can capture that, that would be an incredible thing.
So you think you would have guests brought in?
Yes, but, yes. What,
not athletes. You wouldn't do athletes.
No, we want to be
sports writers.
We need to be. I think we need to be defined by some element of contrast. When you watch our show, we want you to think, A, is this ESPN?
Right.
And B, man, I am not hearing this conversation anywhere else. And that's not to say that other people aren't having fantastic conversations.
Well, like
Levitard, we
Levitard brings in rappers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that's not for me. That's, you know, I'm too old for that. But he does that. I think he, more than anybody else that I've seen, tries to use his show to push the wall as far away as possible and tell people you're all welcome here, though the choice of guests, while it is welcoming for some, is alienating for others. I mean, that's the difficult thing, that how do you measure that? How do you get a certain comfort level? And while you establish, and I'm sure you already have a very good rapport with Bomani, but everybody you add makes it a little bit harder to keep that rapport on the same level. So I just wonder how you do it.
Yeah, no, I think what we want to do, we don't want to run away, and the Levitard example is a good one. Dan revels in running away from sports.
Oh my God!
Right, that's
oh, no, he's,
as you know on PTI and certainly on his radio show.
He wants to sink the ship, even though he's on the ship every single time he's on the ship.
Right.
And you know, what are you doing? Why are you such a provocateur? Why must you kill the show that we're on? He has to. He has to. He's
right.
The ASP with Cleopatra. He
it's
has
a P,
to do it.
A P at the end of ASP.
Yes, ASP.
But what we want to do is engage sports, right? We want to give people, okay, the topic, your A1, your A block first topic is LeBron. Well, we just need to give you a LeBron conversation that is not being had elsewhere.
Yeah.
We're not going to run away from LeBron. We're not going to run away from the biggest story of the day. We just have to talk about it and digress within that conversation to places that, you know, are unpredictable and by definition not being had by other people because
okay.
Those people aren't us.
But a small amount of advice.
I want all
be
the
you.
Advice.
Don't seek out unpredictability at the expense of something very natural and organic that'll happen.
Yeah,
there's a relatability though to both these guys that I think maybe is not even on display on Around the Horn or PTI when they're filling in or highly questionable. I mean, I think we did Behind the Horn, Around the Horn companion pieces where we showed a little bit more of these guys, and I think that's the space I would love to see you guys live in on your normal show. That Behind the Horns type of relatability you have.
Here's all I want from your show. Every once in a while, I want to be like Tom Brokaw does now on NBC and come on with
yes.
some really nice pair of glasses
yeah.
and be so ancient and yet revered.
Just inject us with some of your gravitas. That's all we ask.
If I could make one suggestion, I know this is from the one guy who's not actually on TV, but I watch a lot of TV, so you might want to take this to heart. If you could somehow work chimpanzees in suits.
And they're so great.
Somehow
chimps in suits.
I think you would have ratings.
I think this has to be said. I think Pablo will be the first Asian American man to be a host of a TV show, of a daytime TV show
really?
In this country. Yeah,
I think that might be right.
Jeremy Lin never had a show?
Yeah. And
really?
I think that's a cool thing. And I think
potential future guest Jeremy Lin.
I think it's amazing he got the job over Matt Damon, which was the other option.
Yeah. I wanted to inject this.
Great Wall was a great movie, Tony. Wall was a great movie.
Do you ever go to Zarro's Bread?
Yes, Upper West Side.
Right, well, all over the city.
Yeah,
I don't go
so
above
one of the Street. One of the owners, Richie Zara, was in the PTI show yesterday. He came down to watch the show. It was very exciting for me. I had a couple of sports questions just because I'm not here anymore and I don't know. Aaron Judge
is a
big deal.
Beautiful human being.
Big deal?
Yes.
Big deal in New York, Aaron
Judge?
He's
a big deal, but I just read a long piece about how the baseballs are juiced.
Yeah.
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 And so I want to buy the mythology of Aaron Judge, but I also rationally want to contextualize.
Well, it is interesting that he's hitting 100 points higher than he basically ever hit in the minor
league. And indisputably hyper talented, of course. Yes.
When you say the baseballs are juiced, that's fine, but you only usually have to clear 375 or 380, and if he's hitting at 490, that's not all juice.
Right. When he's destroying the TV screens in the outfield, that is beyond the juice.
But is that a big deal in New York?
Absolutely.
Oh, you're a Yankee fan.
Judge, yes.
Like,
Judge
I was never a Yankee fan.
Judge is
and
a
I grew
superstar
up a Yankee
in New York
too,
right
yeah.
now. And Gary Sanchez is a guy that he's in a lot of the promos too, and now Judge has jumped on top of him as well. I mean, they're both going to be 30, 40 home run guys. I don't think they're going to hit for 300. Judge is right now. I mean, as Pablo just alluded to, the balls are juiced, and we are at a record rate right now. And this is Sabermetrics. This is the three true outcomes. All right? Strikeout.
Home runs. More home runs than ever.
Home run. And all three
on a pace to destroy
right
it.
Now are on an all-time
yeah,
pace. The strikeout.
It.
I mean, Judge has got 80. I think he had 83 strikeouts going into last night. He's going to get to about 200. But he could hit 45 home runs. And he may even hit 300, even if he goes in a slump for the rest of the year, because he's at 330. Cody Bellinger is a young player who's now hit his 22nd home run last night for the Dodgers. And he's not even 22 years of age. And he's got 70 strikeouts. But this is where baseball is right now.
So I had one other question about this because I no longer live here, and it's been a long time. And where I live, the company store is politics. And so people really do care about it in Washington. This is the biggest and best city in the country. Do people care about the politics here, or are New Yorkers almost immune to it or just don't care about it? It doesn't matter.
Oh, they care. I mean, again,
because one of your own is the president at the moment.
Yeah, that's,
you know, he's a New Yorker.
Wait a second.
Well, not, well, you know what I mean.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
You know what I mean?
Remind us where you were born, and then
I was born in Manhattan. Yeah. So I'm just sort of wondering.
I mean, Tony, the guy's building is in the middle of Fifth Avenue.
I wanted to metaphorically escape him,
the traffic to Times Square is more of a nightmare than it has ever been.
I walk by one of the hotels every day, and there's always a police, not a police presence, but you know, those barricades are always on the side, ready to be rolled out. I think the front page of one of the papers today is Dump Towers. You know, I mean, and they're constantly taking the temperature of the city in that way. It's a very real and palatable thing.
When people are not complaining about the subway being worse than it's ever been.
This right now is
That's really the story of New York right now.
The New York subway's terrible.
Oh, it is.
Because the Washington subway, as you know, though we have fewer fires than we used to, but many fires.
Yes. No. We're operating.
The subway's bad?
Terrible. Oh, my God.
Terrible.
It is. I mean,
thought the subway was clean. Wait. I thought the subway was cleaned up in the 90s. It was beautiful.
It might be cleaner. There's less graffiti, but now graffiti is considered high art, so I think we would appreciate it more graffiti. And now,
the MTA...
The rats are running the trains. They're conducting the trains at this point. When you get on and you hear, there's a... That's what a rat sounds like. Okay? You used to think it was a person. It is a rat. That's their language.
And we talk about, the subway a lot, obviously. It's a trope in New York, but the MTA... just tweeted something about how its 1930s era signal system malfunctioned yesterday.
Stunner.
We talk about subtweets and LeBron James. Who is he shading there? Well, hey, Governor Cuomo, we have a 1930s signal system in the biggest,
that's
best
what it
city
is.
In the world.
It's a fight between the city and the state because a lot
there's
of people
no
don't realize.
There's no sexiness in saving the subway if you're Governor Cuomo.
Who controls the MTA and who controls the...
That's right.
The city's subway system is controlled by the state. And there's been a long battle between the governor and the
mayor.
But,
of course, you get police escorts when you come to the city. So that's a separate concern.
We had a lot of traffic.
When's the last time you took the subway?
Probably in the 1970s.
Let's do this right now. We're going right now. The one line is right outside here.
We're getting stuck on the one train.
Oh, we're going to do it.
We're going to
say hello to the rats.
It's been a long time in New York. The last time was, that was probably it. Yeah.
How about a metro? When was the last time you were in a metro?
Oh, it's not for the last 25 years. Right. No, I haven't.
There was a study.
Wilbon always claims he takes it, but it's not true.
He takes one with a vanity plate on the top of it that says press box.
It's certainly not true. It's not true. All right. Okay, this is good.
This was really
I've
good.
Enjoyed this.
Yeah. Can we do this again?
Yeah. Whenever I'm called to be paraded around Bristol, I'll stop here. We'll do some jingle and some emails.
Yeah, we get me emails next. Yes.
Okay, fabulous.
Yeah, for those that are wondering, we've missed a segment. No, we haven't. We've just done longer segments and it's a different show.
No, because we're away from home, so it's better this way. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So this is the Casper ad, and one of the things that they say in the Casper ad when they hand you the copy is prompts option for the host. And it says, describe what it's like to sleep on a Casper mattress. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I have a Casper mattress because I don't have a Casper mattress. They offered me a Casper mattress. I just said, that's too much for me right now because what do I do with my old mattress? Do I eat it? How do I get rid of it? But I wanted very much to get the dog bed, the Casper dog bed. And I got the Casper dog bed. And this thing is great. I mean, I'm going to make the metaphoric leap here that if your dog loves the mattress, you might love the mattress. But my dog, this is my dog's sleeping pattern. My dog starts out, as many dogs do, on tile in the bathroom because dogs like to be on cold tile in the bathroom. And then at about 1 or 2 in the morning, my dog comes into the bedroom and sleeps on the Casper mattress and sleeps soundly. I mean, the dog till 5 in the morning is a tremendous amount of time for a dog. Dogs don't sleep at great long stretches of time. And a dog sleeps on the Casper mattress for like 3 straight hours before coming up on the bed. So I'm just telling you, the Casper people might say, why don't you sell mattresses for humans for us? I'm just telling you that if you have a dog and love your dog, this is very good. The Casper mattress has over 30,000 global reviews. Joseph G. from Colorado said, I can't believe I'm reading this, quote, as a former athlete, sleep and comfort is a key to performance, and Casper does that now for my life and my wife, unquote. Now, I don't know who Joseph G. is, and I don't know what level of athleticism he ever attained, and I guess that's because I'm a sports show guy, so they say Joseph G. was a big-time athlete. Dozens of pro basketball, baseball, and football players sleep on a Casper and rave about it. I get that. I get that. Skip the typical mattress shopping game. Buying the Casper is easy. You order online. It's delivered to your door in a compact box. There's free shipping and free returns. It's available in the United States, Canada, and now in the United Kingdom. And we have people who listen there. Don't sit out on the sidelines. Try the Casper for 100 nights in your own house. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/Tony and use Tony. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
If you're going to TK Jingle,
that's this weekend, yes?
That's right.
To Saturday. Hear some songs about an orange man with no hair.
This, of course, is Joe Arrow.
See you this weekend. You're sure to meet some crazy people there.
And probably Bonnie.
For those that come to TK Jingles.
So I think that they're going to all go to lunch at Chatter.
They are.
Buy right. some okay. swag right. and drink tickets for the bar. Well, maybe a t-shirt. Puts the shot glass, or else they'll charge it all to Negrelli's credit card.
That would be exciting, wouldn't it? If they charge it to Jerry Negrelli. Before we get into the mailbag, let me thank Tony Reale and Pablo Torre for sitting in today on the show. It's a different. We went a lot longer. We had fewer segments. We went a lot longer, and it felt really good, actually. Thanks as well to the folks at Digital Media for providing us with a studio to do the show here in New York. And, of course, we want to thank our sponsors, Indochino, MeUndies, and Casper Mattresses. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We have some mail here that Nigel has done from Alan Levy. Dear Dr. Tony, You know I'm a doctor, right? I have a doctorate.
Yeah, Dr. Tony.
What did you talk about this last time? What field did you get it in?
Doctor of Humane Letters.
Oh, wow.
Well, that impresses you. Doesn't Harvard boy. Doesn't Harvard boy.
But you didn't do what I told you. You should be walking around with your arms up in the air at 90 degrees like you just washed.
Like I scrubbed.
And then you don't have to shake anybody's hand like ever again.
Dear Dr. Tony, Friday is the birthday of the woman to whom I'm related by marriage and dedicated little Fran Levy. If you read this, it would more than make up for the paltry gift I'm about to give her. Since she listens to you religiously, it will also come before her birthday and almost guarantee a good mood for Friday. From Samf Reef Pesaru. This is the gentleman who's on the Fox cooking show.
Yeah, the show. I'm not sure what the name of
one
it
of
is.
The chef shows, he wants to come and cook for us.
Right.
He says, "Hi, Dr. Tony. Is there some place I can drop off some of the best pastrami and corned beef sandwiches for you while you're in New York City? I got this too late because I'm about to leave New York City and go be paraded around
next time. Oh, and Anthony Verner invited us to the Friars Club. He emailed me last night.
Oh, you got
to
do that.
He's never going to the Friars Club.
Wait a second. We should roast Mr. Tony at the Friars Club.
I've never been to the Friars Club.
Yeah, he's can like, we next do that? Time,
yeah, next.
Still exists, the Friars
yes,
Club?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. It's had a rebirth with Jeffrey Ross being.
He is the funniest, the greatest insult guy in the world. Plus, he's a very.
Club.
I've met him a few times.
Yeah.
I really like him, he's a big sports fan.
Yes,
big sports fan.
And Adam Ferrara's a member of the Friars Club as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
no,
I'm
you know
pretty
what?
Sure he is.
Roast.
Is Uncle Milty still there?
No, but he's.
Oh, so listen to this. So we're not going to do this for a second. So Wilbon comes to me last week and he says, "We're getting a very big honor." And I said, "What's the big honor?" And he says, "Well, the University Club is going to name us, you know, some best in journalism for our careers or something like that." I said, "Really? The University Club? The University Club's a private club in Washington." And, you know, Wilbon and I have done, we were honored there once, so we did Q&A or something like that. But it's, you know, I didn't think of it as honoring people for their career achievements. So yesterday we're up on the train, coming up on the train, and Tracy says, "Are you going to have to do this thing for the National Press Club?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "The National Press Club is honoring your careers, you and Wilbon." I said, "Wilbon said it was the University Club." And he says, "Wilbon's an idiot." It's the National Press Club.
That's pretty cool.
A big deal. They have honored Walter Cronkite, Carl and Bob, Dan Rather, you know, I mean, this is this is rare air. This is a big deal. I mean, Wilbon and I are going to, we're going to have to go. I have to wear socks for that.
Yeah, you will have to wear socks.
I don't wear underwear.
You've established that three times. Elizabeth Gardner, Austin, Texas. I never thought about it before, but Dr. Tony is right. Bobby Bones' real name is Bobby Estelle. I used to listen to him on a top 40 station in Austin, Texas. I got tired of one of his sidekicks, Lunchbox, and started listening to audiobooks when I had a long commute. Fast forward a few years, and the station switches to country music, which I love, but I could not adjust to Bobby Bones being a country music guy. Plus, at that point, I had a shorter commute, and I discovered podcasts. Bobby Bones is on track to be the next Ryan Seacrest. Mr. Bones has figured out how to make money in radio. His net worth is reported at $5 million, and that was from a 2015 article. When he moved to Nashville, he was not liked by the city, so he used his own money, $13,000, on billboards that stated, "Go away, Bobby Bones." It's brilliant self-promotion. It's brilliant. The negative campaign led to sympathy, and no one ever guessed he was behind the billboards. Bobby Bones wrote a book and confessed to being behind the billboards. Bobby Bones has come a long way. He's no longer that DJ making $17,000 a year. Thank you. I still love your podcast. From Josh Cromwell in Moselle, Mississippi. I encountered an error when downloading yesterday's show. I was trying to get the Tony Kornheiser show, but I somehow ended up with the Better Homes and Gardens podcast instead, in which an old man was seeking advice on how to keep deer out of his tomato plants. Please advise. Charlie Burt, Springfield, Virginia. We Charlotte Hornet fans rarely have cause to celebrate. Draft day is one of those rare times each year where we can feel that sense of optimistic weight. Seriously? Dwight Howard? It's a good one.
Loyalty.
D12 loyalty. Ron Santamont in Toronto. Listening to yesterday's show about the destruction of your tomato plants and also hearing about David Aldridge's sleeping problems, the mystery I think is solved. Aldridge is eating your tomato plants. Just set up a video camera around your garden at late at night. You'll catch the Hall of Famers sleep eating your vegetables. As angry as you'll be seeing your beloved tomatoes destroyed, think how happy you'll be seeing someone you know on your television screen. It's a David Aldridge moment. If you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white. And great thanks to both of you for coming in.
Love you, Tom.
It was fun.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
What a waste of time.